us light. He gave me a revelation. We saw in Saul's life how at the beginning he was humble. He thought lowly of himself. But when he became king for 3 years, he lived as a king, and he got his taste for what it was like for people to bow down to him and for him to have power. This might and power was a great trial for Saul. If someone does not say hello to you, you think, why doesn't someone greet me? Ah, they don't think highly enough of me because they do not think of me highly enough. Or somebody didn't invite me. Why didn't they invite me? We need to remain humble. We see, after a few years of being king, Saul wanted to be honored by the people, glorified by the people. He wanted the people to acknowledge everything that he was doing. And that's when the Lord said, through Samuel, that your kingship will now be given to someone else. You are no longer king. He saw that God was with David, but he still wanted the might and the power. If I'm going well, if everything is succeeding in my life and working out, I become proud. But when things are going, when I go through difficulties, when I have trials, then the Lord can really save me from my pride. That we pray that also all the new saints would not go the way of pride. And just because maybe you have a job in the church or ministry in the church doesn't mean that you are higher than anybody else. Save us from all desiring to be honored. Last night, I was almost shaking because I saw in my flesh there is still this tendency towards pride and wanting to be honored and glorified. The Lord must be merciful to us that we do away with all haughty thoughts. I also feel encouraged to say something. I have a verse that's fitting that I noticed a while back. In Ecclesiastes 7:8. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. We want to be the kings in the future. We want to exercise the kingly priesthood. And there are some kings, they started off so well. They thought they were doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord more than any others. There was also Josiah. He found the law of the Lord again. There were other kings who brought things back into the way they should be. Some started well, but at the end, they were disobedient. Also, I read about Josiah this morning again. He needed to obey God in a certain manner, but he didn't, and then he had to die. This really moved me because we want to belong to the kings who are obedient to the Lord, and it's a very high calling, and it's not that easy to be obedient. And I really pray to the Lord that no one among us would miss the goal due to disobedience. Lord Jesus, in Zion, we intercede for everyone, for ourselves, for all of the saints. Someone said last night he always was looking at himself, praying for himself. Of course, that's part of it. But we also need to pray for Zion. And inside, I felt such an inward sadness and a hopelessness to go to the sisters, to really pray for Zion, to pray for the others. Could someone please read Romans 12:1-2? Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It was Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Our reaction to the Lord's immense grace should be our consecration and even the ability to consecrate ourselves to do His will is a grace. So may the grace of God be with all of us. Amen. I really want to praise the Lord. He is so rich. I asked the Lord a few weeks ago, how can I really be holy for Him? He showed me in Hebrews 12 that I have to be obedient in difficulties. He showed me that the Lord also learned to be obedient through difficulties. And that showed me that since if the Lord was able to learn it, then the Lord can help us to learn it as well. I must say, we learn through difficulties to be obedient. Then how much more should it be easier when we don't have any difficulties and the Lord tells us to do something? Then I am trained to hear His voice and to obey His voice. In Hebrews 12, verse 14, he says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Amen. The contrast between David and Saul is so gigantic. It's good for us to see it. And it also should make us sad. It's good for us to make us sad because the expression of the old man is flesh. But praise the Lord, we have received a new life. We're reading in Romans 6 that we have died and were buried together with Christ. We should be clear, nothing good can come of our old man. If we have been buried, then it is over with our old man. Over. And of course, we are resurrected with Him. But here we need to see the objective being put through baptism, being put into Christ. We are in Christ through the baptism. And out of God, we are in Christ Jesus. But Paul wants us to experience that. That's why we have Romans 8, after Romans 7, of course. But here's a little window that Paul opens for us in the newness of life, to walk in the newness of life. This, of course, gets my attention. How we do that, he says this in the next sentence in a very wonderful way. He says, because if we have been planted with Him, the word is symphuto. It's only in the Bible one time, and it means to grow together, like grafting. It's like grafting. If we're like grafted in the oneness and the sameness of His death, we are grafted, and we have the new life. We can be set free from our desire for pride, for our haughty thoughts, for everything that is in our old heart. Hallelujah. We are growing together. Symphuto. We are grafted together, one with Him. All of our hope is that He will grow in us and set us free in reality every day, every hour, every minute, right now. He will set us free from our old man, from our desire for honor, for our haughtiness from the very beginning. You know it all. You know what's in your flesh. Praise the Lord. Saints, can you hear us? Yes. It was also my experience that I want to share with you. Abba, Father, I really praise the Lord. In 2011, He gave me an experience to enter into His rest and every morning to take a water bath in the Word. In the beginning of 2021, I started working on my self-control. And I found the fellowship here with all of you online. And since then, Christ has really been my experience continuously. I experience continuously how He changes me and transforms me. Amen. And since the middle of this year, the Lord has shown me brotherly love. I enjoy Matthew 3-6, that everything also should be done out of love. Be glad always, pray unceasingly. As soon as a difficult situation comes up, I want to learn to thank Him consciously as a decision to thank the Lord for the difficult situation, because I know this is a situation arranged by the Lord and the Lord's will, and I can thank Him for it. I'm encouraged to know that nobody can say Lord Jesus outside of the Holy Spirit, just like 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. So I thank Jesus and give Him all honor. He strengthens my faith. Everything comes from Him. Everything will be made perfect through Him. It's so much easier for me to thank the Lord now. His love works itself into my mind, into my thoughts. I give the Lord the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank the Lord that I can be here. I really enjoy the word we hear here. And what is touching me the most so far while I've been here is the consciousness that my King is coming soon. My awareness of this fact has become even stronger. and to know that my King also lives in me. I really have a compelling in my heart to hear my King and to obey him in all things. Especially from the first day on, I wanted to exercise this, practice this. I have a lot of decisions to make, and I think it's so wonderful that we can give everything to our King. Amen. We don't have to fight for it. What should I do? What should I not do? But we could just give it all to the Lord. Give it up to the Lord and open your ears to hear what our King wants me to do. And I want to remain in this exercise. Practice this every day until the Lord comes back. Amen. I want to read a verse. The willing and the noble of the people have gathered because for Psalm 47, I think. Lord, I thank you that you have made us noble, that you give us the willingness and the cooperation in Christ to be gathered here as the people of the God of Abraham. Thank you that you have the authority, that you sit on the throne. We want to see that today. You rule and you reign, and you should rule and reign in our hearts especially. Amen. Something really shook me yesterday. Maybe something that I've read already 100 times. The story of Moses. He was 80 years old when he was sent into the wilderness. He was 40 years when he was sent into the wilderness to shepherd sheep for another 40 years. And then when he was 80, then the Lord called him again. And then when God called him, when he was 80 years old, to go back to the people of Israel in Egypt, he did everything exactly the way that the Lord told him to do. But then in the wilderness again, he hit the rock one too many times, and the Lord said, this was not what I asked you to do. And it was so strong, his punishment. So many years he was going with the people, took them out of Egypt, led them out of Egypt, went with him through the wilderness, but he was not allowed to enter into the promised land because of this one act of disobedience, because of this one hit of the rock. That was what barred him the entrance into the good land. He brought him up to the mountain to show him he could see the good land, and then he died, but he wasn't allowed to enter in. We all say we want to be obedient, but I have to ask myself, wow, God's standard is really high. And I was thinking, considering, what should I do in my life? Again and again, I read the verse. The good work that the Lord has worked and began in us, he will complete. All these thoughts, all of these worries that I have, I can give them up to him and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I want that this word becomes reality in me. You will perfect it in me because I have no chance to do it out of my own strength. Right. Amen. I want to read this precious verse from Acts 13:22. Acts 13:22. It says about David, after God had removed Saul, God raised up for them David as king, to whom also God gave testimony. God gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Isn't that a sweet word? A word that really should move our hearts to become such a man. I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. I want to become such a man through Jesus Christ. Not someone who is just faithful for a certain time and then after a while does something different. Saul wasn't faithful for very long. After 3 years of being king, he was already failing. But David was a man according to God's own heart. And towards the end of his life, he did even more for the Lord's will than at the beginning. At the end of his life, he did everything to prepare the building of the Lord's temple. If you read Chronicles and you read the story of David in Chronicles, it's impressive how this man was so zealous for the house of God. And he was increasingly more zealous for the house of God. All the gold that he had gathered through all of his lootings and all of the battles that he won, he used it for the building of the temple. He had already set up the ministries of the priests. He found the cities where to build the house of God after he had repented for his sins. This man prepared everything. And when he was lying on his deathbed, he was instructing his son how to build the temple of the Lord. This was really a man who did all of the will of the Lord. And that's the kind of people God wants to turn us into. Don't you want to be such a person? Don't you want to make such a vow to the Lord to say, Lord, make me to such a person who will do all your will through Jesus Christ? You know, David is really a wonderful picture for our Lord Jesus Christ. This Christ lives in us so that we can become such people. Thank the Lord. I really enjoyed this. And I made a new vow to the Lord for this. Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was humbled, I was, verse 71, Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. And verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It's a good sign when the Lord is afflicting us, otherwise we will go astray. If we are always successful, if everything is going well, we become numb for the Lord's speaking. We become stiff-necked and stubborn. That's why it is good that I may be afflicted, that I may learn your statutes, and that I may keep your word. Amen. Yesterday, I thought it was quite strong. We saw Saul at the beginning. He was humble, but he became prideful. And he looked to what the people thought of him was more important than what God wanted. He was so concerned about receiving honor from the people, and he neglected the Lord. But David says, I have the Lord before my eyes at all times. 1 Samuel 15, when Samuel said to Saul, what you've done was wrong. And he told him what will happen. He said, then Saul said, I have sinned But now, please, honor me in front of the elders of my people and of Israel, and come return with me. It's 1 Samuel 15, verse 24. So Samuel was more afraid of what the elders would see about him than the people. He was more afraid of what the people would say. He always wanted to see, what did the people think? What did the people want to see? And that's really something that's in all of our hearts. What does this brother say? What do these saints say? It's good to hear to the saints, but first and foremost, we must hear God. We must listen to God. With David, it was different. David did bad things, and then Nathan came to him, the prophet. I think you know the story, maybe. Nathan, the prophet, he prophesied a great judgment to David. And the same as Saul, but David's reaction was much different. David said, he didn't care what the people or the elders thought of him. He wanted to come clean with God again. We know Psalm 51, the way that David was fleeing to the Lord because of his son. He fasted and he laid all night on the ground. And then the elders of the people came and to him. They came to his house. They wanted to lift him up from the ground. All the elders are coming and trying to pick him up from the ground. Imagine it. Can you picture it? The elders coming and trying to pick their king off the ground. But he didn't want to. He remained lying on the ground. He didn't eat any bread with them. He didn't care what the elders thought of him, because he realized, if I am not in peace with God, then everything doesn't matter anymore. Nothing else matters. I have the Lord before my eyes at all times. If he is on my right, then I don't need to be afraid. I also want to add just to what the saints have been saying. Saul's beginning was good, but his end was bad. 1 Samuel 18. Saul wants David to become his son-in-law. And then David says in verse 23, 1 Samuel 18, 23, does it seem to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am poor and lightly esteemed man? So David also started out humble. If someone asks you to be the son-in-law of the king, you might be the first to raise your hand. But for David, he was like, you're asking the wrong guy. I'm not up for this. I'm not high enough for this. And at this time, he was already a captain in the army. It wasn't that he was a shepherd or a lowly shepherd anymore. He was already a captain in Saul's army. But in his heart, before God and before the people, he saw himself as a poor man and a lightly esteemed man. Remind me what the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of God. Then we heard later that Saul was different. Saul became prideful and proud after he received the position of king. Before he was a king, he was humble. After he became a king, his humble was over. With David, it was completely different. At the beginning, he was humble. And later, when he already had become king, he retrieved the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, back to Jerusalem. And he danced in front of the Ark of the Covenant as strong as he could. He was so excited that the Ark of the Covenant was finally retrieved and replaced where it should be. And his wife didn't like it. When she saw David hopping and springing and dancing, right? If the the greatest king is just hopping around, that's maybe doesn't make a good impression. But David's answer is very amazing when his wife approaches him and says, "What are you doing? You're making a fool of yourself. You are the king." In 2 Samuel 6, verse 21, David answers. He says, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. And I will be even more undignified than this and will humble in my own sight." "But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Yeah. Who cares about what the maidservants think of you? They're normally the lowly ones. But his thought was, "I am lowly and God is high." I want to learn that. To give God the honor in Zion, not to myself or any other person. Therefore, the psalm that we're going to read today, Psalm 47, it says, "The Lord is great." The king in Zion should be exalted. So even if you think you are a position, you have a minister, you are a serving one, you're a pastor, you're an apostle, at the end, pride rises in your heart. And that is the beginning of the fall. This is what happened with Saul. Not only at the end, but not only that, the kingdom is taken away from you. Saul tried everything. He even grabbed Samuel by his clothes and ripped off part of his cloak. And then Samuel said, "Just like you ripped off a part of my cloak, so the Lord will rip the kingdom away from you." We're in the same situation today. We are very close to the Lord's return. And the Lord wants to make us to kings in his kingdom. That's why it's so important that we learn this lesson. That we say, "Lord, I am poor in my spirit. I don't want to think highly of myself. I want to leave everything up to you. Lord Jesus." This is a healthy mindset in the church. And the last point I wanted to mention, in the preparation we saw, that as long as Saul lived, David was not yet king. It wasn't until Saul died did David become the ruler of the kingdom. And that must show us, as long as the old man, the old religious Saul still is causing turmoil within us, there will be no kingdom. He has to die. He must be buried. He has to be done away with. Then, when he's gone, then David can be king. Isn't that the way it is? In the church, we don't want to live out our old Saul, quote unquote. In the church life in Zion, if we live our old man, then it's over. There will be no ruling of the king here. So it's good for us to be reminded that the old man is crucified with the Lord. I don't want to have anything to do with Saul. He should not live. But the new man is the only one who will inherit the kingdom. So praise the Lord for Zion. Lord Jesus Christ. Often in my life, I ask myself what obedience really is. And it became clear to me that obedience is actually this like faith. We obey the Lord in the spirit. In the spirit of meekness, we obey. In the spirit of patience, in the spirit of love. And through this, we can really overcome darkness, sin, betrayal. But if we think we're not we are only obedient in deeds, then will we become too proud. That's why I need to stay, keep my feet on the ground to enjoy the peace of the Lord in my daily life and to have this faith and the strength in the Lord. We read that in Galatians. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And these things, in truth, are against the sin, against darkness, against betrayal. Only a false love would encourage sin. Amen. Amen. Can we read two Psalms, 47 to 48? We'll read alternating. Brothers and sisters, the brothers can start with Psalm 47, verse 1, and then we'll read all the way through to 48, the end. And that's not just recite the psalm, but let's eat it, enjoy it. It should really become our food this morning. So Psalm 47 to 48. And the brothers begin, alternating brothers and sisters. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. O clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. A psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. For behold, the kings assembled. They passed by together. They saw it. And so they marveled. They were troubled. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain, as of a woman in birth pangs, as when you break the ships of Tarshish with the east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought, O Lord, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our God even to death. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Father, we pray for your word this morning. We pray that you would appear to us in your word by your Holy Spirit. I want to hear your voice and keep your word. For God is the King over the whole earth. We pray that your kingdom would come on earth. He is King of all the earth. Your kingdom come on earth. We want to be your Zion today.